Chicago. What do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast. It is a scheduled Cubs off day, but we keep on trucking at CHGO.
No off day.
There is no off day. Technically not true, but not today.
There's a lot of facts in the way that this is.
Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Delmendo after the Cubs split with the Marlins. I want to give a shout out to our newest CHGO diehard. His name's Paul. Welcome aboard, Paul. Welcome to the family.
I only know good Pauls. That's the good
Paul. That's the good Paul.
It's the only good Paul that I know.
Happy Earth Day. We'll talk about how am I going to work recycling into Cubs baseball. How are we going to weave that together? You'll find out later in the podcast. Plus, we're going to hit all the highs and lows early in the Cubs season. Shout out to Naked Guy was out on the balcony earlier. He was out sunning himself.
Oh, yeah.
Laid back in his chair. It looked like he was completely buck naked. I don't know if he was or wasn't, but that's what I'm saying. Shout out in the live YouTube chat to Shane Newbanks is here. I don't think I've seen Shane in a while.
It's been a minute,
Shane. It's been a little bit.
He is in the Discord a lot, though.
Gary's here. Robert's here. Best way to enjoy the CHGO experience is to sign up and subscribe to the CHGO Sports YouTube page.
Shane in the Discord goes by Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
Which, as a SpongeBob
enthusiast,
yeah. I appreciate.
Yeah, see, I don't get that reference, but Edward says Naked Guy is a diehard. Is that true? Can we have confirmation of that? I do think so. Diehard?
Yeah, I mean, he knows who we are. He puts signs out there about us now.
I think every show calls him something different, too.
Yeah. Like, we call him Naked Guy.
Naked Guy.
I saw him before the show. He knew he was going to be on. Like, it was almost like he was looking across like, hey, guys, now it's a little bit of exhibition.
It's like, I'm here.
I thought he was a Sox fan, though, because he's put a Sox, like, jersey out on his balcony before.
I don't think he's a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
But we still like him.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what else we like? The Friday 120 Club. Episode number 2 out of 14 was last Friday. Another sunny day. Friday 120 Club now 2-0 on the season. In record, undefeated. In vibes, undefeated. I saw Cody, second time now, singing Go Cubs Go, and second time I saw Braggs looking down at his phone, looking for a sign upside down backwards.
Yeah. We had a good time. Shout out to Deerfield High School Senior Skip Day.
Oh, wow.
First of all, that was my first thought, was that was Senior Skip Day.
They
kids.
Did look young, and I thought, you know, that's what I did for my Senior Skip Day.
Yeah.
Back in 1990, we went to a Cubs game.
It was like four rows of, like, high school kids. We gave them all stickers. Hopefully they're listening today instead of paying attention in class.
yeah, I mean, the season's over. You picked your college or wherever, whatever you're doing next. That's right. Chosen.
Yeah, hopefully they're listening today. But, yeah, we had a good time. Shout out to the people who came out, too. We had there was a guy from Tennessee brought his son. They didn't hang out with us in the bleachers, but they met up with us at Murphy's.
Nice.
Forgot his name, but they listened to the show. And they go to, like, Smokies games all the time.
Let's just call him the Tennessee kid.
The Tennessee kid, yeah. There was a guy from Florida who met up with us at Murphy's and sat out in the bleachers with us. And then he didn't meet up with us at Murphy's, but he was out in the bleachers. A guy from Israel who's out here in the States right now, like, doing, like, a baseball ballpark tour.
Okay.
Who's a Cubs fan. And nice. So he was, like, out in our section, too, kind of hanging out. And then Sean in the chat. Sean Caselli, the famous Sean Caselli.
Oh, he's there?
He was there.
My enemy.
Wearing a Moises Alou jersey, which was
a good jersey.
Incredible. and, yeah, a bunch of other people. We had a great time. The weather turned out great again.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's all you can ask for.
Right. I mean, it hasn't been like it insanely hot or anything, but the sun being out helped.
For two April games in the bleachers, probably two of the best weather days you had out there.
For sure.
Because of the sun. All right, so Friday 120 Club. Next one is May 3rd.
Yeah, against the Brewers.
I'm locked in for that one. I'm all locked in. All days blocked off.
Aren't we doing a post game at Almost Home?
We might be. That's a rumor.
That's a rumor? Okay.
But I'm locked in. I'm locked in.
Almost Home posted a picture from our post game at their bar on Friday, too, today on their Instagram. So shout out to them.
I haven't decided. I think I'm going to either skip Murphy's or skip Almost Home. But if we're doing post game, probably I might be late to Murphy's would be the idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just slightly.
The fact that we're going to get you in the bleachers, though. Also, I was told in the Discord that you were at the game on Saturday.
Not true.
I don't believe it.
The Discord was a falsity.
I will believe the diehards every time.
Well, they were wrong. It must have been Brad Pitt. They made a mistake.
Yeah,
they confused me again.
That makes sense. Yep.
It's happened again. It's happened once. It's happened again.
All right.
All right. So we're doing the lows and the highs. and then we're going to work in Earth Day here. Obviously, let's start with the lows because that's what everybody's talking about today. Sports radio's filled with it. It's what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. All right, Kyle Hendricks pitched again. It didn't go well again. The lows so far this season, Hendricks, if you take out all of the injuries and just say the injuries are the biggest low, sure. They are.
Yeah.
The next biggest low probably is Kyle Hendricks' start.
Yeah. No, yeah, and it's, what, 5 starts in now?
ERA of 12.
Yeah, and, yeah, ERA of 12. He's just not looking anything like he did last year, which is, like, and we've said this before, like, if he didn't have the season he had last year, he's probably not on the team. Like,
right.
But he had a good bounce-back season, his best season in, like, 3 or 4 years. You're like, okay, this guy's, you know, they figured out the shoulder thing. He took a long break. Like, he's got something left in him. But now he's come out and he's been just, yeah, he's been bad. And, you know, he's a guy that's historically had slow starts in April. Like, that's been a thing throughout his career. But even Jed kind of said it on Friday that, like, he's had that, but not to this extent, not right. to this level.
Not with a 12 ERA.
Yeah. So, yeah, for me, that's the number one lowest right now outside of the injuries, is just that Hendricks has not looked anything like he did last year. Like, you're not expecting 2016, 2017, 2018, like that era Kyle. But I think we were right to expect him to look more like he did last year, because that was, like, for the whole season, he was pretty good. Or when he came back in May, obviously. But he hasn't shown any ability to get there. The execution's not really there, location, that kind of stuff. And for a guy that doesn't miss a lot of bets, not being able to execute how he needs to is obviously leading to bad things. And, like, there were good signs on when he last started. There were good signs because, you know, he did have some success the first time and a half or so through the order. A few more strikeouts, didn't walk anyone. So, like, it was a little bit more of a step in the right direction, but it was still, at the end of the day,
not good.
A bad, yeah. It was 4 innings, I think.
Yeah.
His start, and it was 4 or 5 runs, whatever it was, whatever it ended up being. So, like, it was still not a good start for him in, like, what he needs to be for this team. And
it should have been 3 runs, because the fact that they didn't give an error to Dansby Swanson is dumb. That airmail on the double play, it would have been a double play, and they would have been out of the inning. It would have been 3-1. Well, I'm not even really taking anything away from the criticism. I'm just saying that it would have been 3-1 instead of 4-1 if Dansby Swanson just throws the ball to where sure. it's supposed to go.
Sure, but it still is. It still wasn't a good – the start they need out of Kyle, right. The kind of start they need out of
it's
Kyle.
It's so telling
– Well, so we're 5 starts in now. It was a step in the right direction, I will say that, because it felt like he was doing better, but obviously they still had that inning where they got to him, scored runs off him, didn't look like sure. he was hitting the right locations, and it's a point where he's got to figure it out. He's got to figure out how to get through. First, just give him some length, because he's not right. giving them length, but limit the hits, limit the runs, and figure out a way to get the team in a position to win, because he hasn't been able to do that yet.
It's telling when he go after 4 innings, he has like 50 some pitches, and Council pulls him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, to me, that's the telling part about it. I do think he was better than he had been in recent starts yesterday, but I think when it comes to confidence from Craig Counsell right now, there is none, because, again, like, to me, it was 3 earned runs to me, and they brought in Smiley for the 5th inning, and honestly, it's because the 3rd time through the order was coming up. And I've pointed this out, but also I think we in general have been pointing it out, but I think I've pushed on it even more, is the fact that when he gets to that 3rd time through the order, that's when, and that's been a consistent thing throughout his career, I believe. So when he gets to the 3rd time through the order, that's when you see what a lot of what we saw through the 2nd time through the order yesterday.
Yeah, that's when things really start to go down.
So I'm not taking away what you guys are saying, but I do think it was a step in the right direction in terms of the strikeouts. I thought the command was a little bit better, but he's really struggling with that sinker command right now. The changeup looks good, but the sinker command hasn't been there, and
that's a problem.
And that's a problem, yeah. So, this is how I feel related to him still, is like, if Steele was healthy, then I'd be like, yeah, we need a phantom IL this guy. sent him to Arizona, sent him to Iowa to work on some things, maybe, whatever. But, I mean, you could put Brown back into the rotation, and, hell, he might still be in the rotation because Craig Counsell said himself after Saturday's game that he's still going to get starts.
Yeah.
And we don't have a starter for the first game against the Astros yet.
Right.
They haven't named
one
yet.
No, we do.
Oh, we do now?
It was Wicks, I believe.
So it's sort of a Wicks Tyone?
Yeah.
Okay. So it would be Wicks Tyone aside, yeah.
Okay.
So I get my point, though, is that I guess I wish that I knew how many innings they want Ben Brown to throw this year.
Right.
Coming off the injury, and if I knew that answer, then I'd probably be a little bit more aggressive about it. Because, yeah, he's looked great in the rotation. He looked great on Saturday night to help preserve the bullpen and, you know, coming in and kind of doing the piggyback thing with Imanaga, even though Imanaga went six. But, you know, he came out there and pitched two solid, clean innings, right? But I don't know how many innings the Cubs want him to pitch this year. So I feel like you have to limit them a little bit. Also, the fact that he's coming off an injury. Like, he was hurt last year, right? So, like, to me, it's about trying to manage that and get through a season with him as a rookie pitcher, which we expect at some point it would be dumb on our parts as fans or reporters, Ryan in his stance, to assume that Ben Brown is going to look like this the entire season. Like, he is going to hit a wall at some point. He is going to go through some sort of struggles because the league has adjusted to him, right? So, to me, I think his best ability or his best traits that he has right now would be better in a bullpen that right now has had its ups and downs. But when Steele comes back, and if Hendricks hasn't done any better in these next one or two starts, then I think you do have to send him to Iowa or Phantom IL and whatever you
not
can
DFA.
Do.
DFA. Let's stop.
Not
that
gonna,
again.
I'm not even saying they should DFA.
No,
that's
it's
for sure.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah. Right.
Because you need the pitching depth.
It's not,
right.
Not on April 27th or anytime soon. Really.
So, yeah, it's a tough situation. And all it does is, you know, Godfather, you will agree with me on this. Like, I know you'll agree with me on this. This only goes back to the fact that the Cubs probably should have signed another starting pitcher for depth. And they didn't. And I'm not saying Jordan Montgomery. I'm not saying Blake Snell. I'm just saying another arm. Just for depth. And they didn't. They really did come into this year banking on these guys that they have on top of some of the young guys that they have coming up. And in some aspects, I'm okay with it because I do want to see young pitchers come up and perform. I want to see if Assad could take a step forward, right? I want to see Ben Brown. I want to see Cade Horton eventually. But the thing that sucks about this is that Justin Steele got hurt in the fifth inning of the first game of the year. And so, again, like, that was the worst possible scenario that could have happened for this team. And now they have to find a way to get through it. So that I'm never going to be against the fact that they brought Hendricks back because he was good for them last year. He was good. He was like the second or third best pitcher on the staff at the end of the year. He was not the reason that they missed the playoffs. He was the reason they were even in the playoff picture because no one had expectations for him when he came back from the injury last year. So the whole, like, if you want to say that if you want to be that fan who, you know, pulls the whole "I told you so," again, I won't tell y'all how to fan, but I just think it's like, you're saying it in hindsight. There was no reason to believe that he was going to trend down this bad this year. There was nothing that showed that.
No, yeah, I think we all advocated for it, and we agreed with it when it happened.
It still was the right call, and I still am, like Cody said, we're not going to tell you how to cub, but I'm still here telling you I think he's going to have productive starts before the season's over. Brendan and Corey talked about it in last night's podcast. Go back and listen to it. It was a great discussion. It's talking about, A, if Steele were back already, they'd already have made a move with Kyle Hendricks. He'd probably be the Phantom IL, whatever you want to do, in Arizona working on it. Two, the fastball's the same speed as it was in 2016 when he was the best of the best. So it's not that. And Kyle Hendricks had a quote after the game. It's not necessarily just command. It's the mental thought process of going into that. It's something he's working on. If it's not the stuff and it's not how fast he's throwing the ball, and it's mental, who else do you think is going to fix it? Of course Kyle Hendricks is going to fix it. I still believe he's going to be that guy. You can laugh at me, and you might at the end of the season go, boy, Stucky was an idiot, huh? I'll still be the one guy left on that island saying, you're not winning the Cy Young, but do I think he can have productive starts that will win the multiple games for the Cubs this season? Yeah. Yes. Now, he has cost them games already this year, too. Yeah. I'm not saying that. That's true. But I'm just saying before this season's over, he's going to win you some games.
The only other option that I haven't mentioned that they could do, but it, there still brings risk with that because you still don't know what you will get. You've gotten one appearance out of him this year, and he was great in it. But Hayden Wesneski, they have him in Iowa. They stretched him out. They're trying to stretch him out as there's a starter. I don't like if they want to cut it now and give him that opportunity until Steele comes back. I'm okay with it.
I think it's at least one more start, but probably two.
Well, I also think with Wesneski, it comes down to his ability to get lefties out too.
I agree.
I haven't looked at
again.
What
it was
been,
he's had one appearance.
Yeah,
you know.
But that's what I'm saying is like it's the one appearance. Yeah. It's that like I haven't looked at like who he's faced in Iowa, so I don't know how he's done platoon split wise, but
yeah,
I have Ghost says it's his stuff. No, the break is the same on everything. Like you said, it's been the sinker command.
It's command location.
That's it. But that's been his thing literally his entire career. I don't think that's disappeared because he's 34. That's just what I'm saying. Like, I know people think he's washed up. He's nearing the end of his career, but I don't think it's not like this isn't Jake Arrieta 2.0. His fastball isn't 5 miles an hour slower than it was before.
Yeah.
The break on the changeup is the same as it was before. Quick question before we go to our first break. Are you more worried about the closer's role and where Alzolay is at a point this point this season, or are you more worried about Kyle Hendricks and where the rotation is?
Hendricks, because I think the Cubs have already addressed the closer. They've started to address it, right? Like, Alzolay came into the eighth inning yesterday down 3 runs. Like, it's clear that they want to get him some low-leverage spots and see what happens. We're going to see. I expect it to be a mixture of Neris or Leiter Jr. I would love to see Keegan Thompson get an opportunity just because he's been so good.
Just by committee until they –
And then, you know, I think by the end of the year, I would love for it to be Luke Little or Ben Brown if Ben Brown's not in the rotation, which I don't think he will be by the end of the year. So
I guess I'll play a little devil's advocate and go the other way, that the closer's role is just a little more concerning because with Kyle, again, like we all have confidence that he can figure it out and at least get closer to a level like he was last year. But if he doesn't, like, they have other options behind him. They have Ben Brown. They have, like you mentioned, Hayden Wesneski in Iowa. You know, depending how long in the season it goes, like, Cade Horton could be ready eventually, right? They have – and then, obviously, Justin Steele is going to be back hopefully in the next few weeks. Tyone just returned on Friday. So they have more options behind Kyle that they could throw in there. Closers-wise, if it's not Alzolay, and we've talked about this, the options aren't great outside of him as far as like you're probably not going to find in the organization right now a bona fide like this is your ninth inning closer guy. Like you might be able to get by with like, you know, Hector Neris in different spots or Mark Leiter Jr. in different spots, and like Julian Merriweather would be one of those guys too if he's not hurt, and he's gone for what, like another 6 weeks or so
at least,
whatever that is. So like I don't know what the options in closer, the depth for like a closer spot, I don't know if those options are, I don't know if the depth is to the level that you have with potential starting pitching options.
They don't have a proven closer.
They don't. And even sure. Alzolay was kind of in that, even though he did it pretty well last year, he was still kind of in that mode of like, can he do it again? And so far he
but
hasn't done
it. The stuff
that
Luke Little and Ben Brown have plays to like what you need in a closer. And all I'm
unless
saying,
unless Luke Little's not throwing strikes, then that stuff
we've
not
seen
play.
Him be pretty wild.
Yeah, well, we've seen other closers walk the world too, but they strike out guys. So I mean, I don't know. Again, right now, no, because it's April and those guys have not even, you know, made 50 major league appearances. You know, I think it's more of like you have to groom them into it by, you know, with the last 2 months of the year or something like that.
But that's just where I'm coming from. Is like it's a lot of ifs, right? Yeah. Like if Luke Little can pitch like he needs to, then maybe he could do it. If I just think the depth wise the options they have behind Kyle, I think I feel better about that than what they have that could fill into that closer spot. Again, I do think they have good arms that could fill in and get saves, but I don't. They don't have a guy that, like, behind Adbert, they're like, this is your ninth inning guy right now. They don't think this is your ninth inning guy, this is your closer. He's going to go out, and you feel very confident he's going to do it. I don't – because even Mark Leiter Jr., like, I don't know if you want him in that role because of his value of being able to go in at any point in the game when a deep lefty pocket comes up, and you can get – you can use him. He's your best option for that. If you move him to an all-time ninth inning closer role, then you lose that throughout the game. So I don't even know – while he may be the best option in general, I don't know if moving him in that role and taking him out of what he's been doing really well – I don't know if that's the best option either.
Yeah, I think Steele and Tyone fulfilling their expectations when they're back, both back, will do wonders for the rotation. I'm just saying, Kyle Hendricks, I'm fine if they decide to cut bait after one more start or after this look. Not DFA, try to go get him right somewhere, wherever that is. But I still think before the season's over, he's productive for the Cubs. Drive home a winner this April after visiting our partner, Ray Chevrolet. They're sharing their best offers of the year. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. As one of the top-selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you're always able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. Plus, you can find the perfect tailgate vehicle. For a limited time, they're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 of them available. And to top it off, they're pricing 125 vehicles under 20 grand. Seriously, guys, can you get pricing more affordable than that? No. Get a free oil change at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake when you mention CHGO, the most important letters in the alphabet, CHGO. A free oil change. All you need to do is mention CHGO when scheduling that oil change. Start off the year right, finish it off right, and schedule it by April 30th. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads.
This weekend, Prize Picks was one of my favorite things to check out because you had obviously a baseball season. Mm-hmm. You have the NBA playoffs starting up, yeah. Right? The bull season's finally over, thank God. you know, all the sports is happening right now.
Oh yeah.
Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Spring training is over. Baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond in your Prize Picks entry, whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs. Take your pick of more or less and add them to your Prize Picks entry today. They have everything for every sport. They have something for every sports fan, from baseball and basketball to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Shohei Ohtani, Connor McDavid, and it's anyone else after that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, you can just, that's the beauty in it. It doesn't have to just be one particular sport. So, I think right now you take a strikeouts prop for any pitcher going up against the White Sox. Michael Bush to get a hit, Cody Bellinger, who's hot right now, to get a hit. And then after that, just you can pick an NBA player. How about our friends over at DMVR, Jokic, or Devin Booker for the Suns. Do an all-city Prize Picks entry.
Ooh,
do two Suns players, two Nuggets players. Can't do Bulls because we can't have nice things. The good news is we're all going to die someday anyway. So, you can get all creative with it, and I think that's the coolest thing about Prize Picks. So you, too, can get creative at prizepicks.com. And use the code CHGO for a first deposit matchup to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO. And use code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We mentioned the lows so far this season. We mentioned that Al's lie, the bullpen, Kyle Hendricks, the injuries, all those things. Who's delivering the highs for you? Well, one of them is certainly the Illinois pork producers, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they sponsor this next segment. They are people who are active right now, need more protein than the average American. In fact, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics and Dietitians of Canada and the American College of Sports Medicine recommend 1.2 to 2.0 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight per day for athletes. Now, depending on training, for a 150-pound person, that's about 81 to 136 grams of protein per day. 1 3-ounce serving of pork provides 23 grams of high-quality protein that can help active individuals build and preserve muscle. The International Society of Sports Nutrition recommends that people who are involved in a general fitness program or are interested in optimizing their health eat low-fat, high-quality source of protein, which includes lean cuts of pork. Elevate your protein game with Lean Pork, a powerhouse of natural goodness. Savor the flavor, savor the gains, and celebrate any occasion by enjoying the best pork produced by Illinois pig farmers for your sausage and bacon for breakfast, to pulled pork and juicy chops hot off the grill. Ooh, it's an entire season dedicated to pork and the people behind the product, paid for by the Illinois pork producers, generations of commitment. So who's delivering?
Who is producing?
Who's producing like they are?
I think the number one is Michael Bush.
Michael Bush has been delivering producing.
Yeah, and it like, you know, we talked about it the first few games of the season. He wasn't quite getting the results, but, like, you saw the plate approach. You saw, like, some of the expected numbers, the contact quality numbers, and you're like, this guy, like, the numbers should be better. They're not right now, but, like, he's doing the right things at the plate, just not getting the benefit of the result. And what was it, like, the fourth or, like, the fifth game of the year? What, it was that second Rockies game or that last Rockies game, whatever, when he went, like, he had a really good game, and then all of a sudden he just starts hitting and hits home runs and doing all this stuff. He had, what was it, five straight games of the home run. Like, the guy, you bring him in on a trade that, you know, not a lot of people loved. Well, I think a lot of people liked it, but, like, obviously Barb, who's in the chat, did not. But
we know Barb. We
just didn't know what to expect from the guy. And he just come out and he's produced, like, better than, you know, the Cubs could have hoped, better than any of us could have expected, I think. What is he at right now? He's hitting 309. He's got a 1.003 OPS, 1003 OPS. So that's on base plus slugging. It's incredible. And this is over now 68 at bats, 20 games into the season. So it's not, or it still is a relatively small sample, but you're not talking about like a week of really good production. You're talking about, we're getting closer to a month now of production, of 20 games, 68 at-bats of production, and him looking like the guy that we're like, this guy is tearing up AAA. He belongs on a major league roster. Can he do it at the big league level? And so far it's been really good to see he is doing it.
He's got to be in the – right now, if you're naming guys that have to be involved in the discussion for Rookie of the Year, he's in that convo. That's how well he's played. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen down the line, but let's not forget what he's accomplished so far, right? I think one of the goods over the weekend, or one of the highs, is seeing Nico back to being Nico.
Yeah.
I don't know that I ever had a ton of worry about it. Yeah. But, man, three more hits on Sunday, you want to see somebody at the plate right now. And for the most part, I know I'm happy with Hap as a leadoff guy, but I'm also happy with Nico as a leadoff guy, especially when, depending on which guy's pitching for the other team.
Yeah, well, remember what, like, maybe the first few games in the season on a show, someone's like, are you guys worried about Nico? And we're like, no, not really. Like, well, we believe he'll figure it out, and here it is.
Well, related to that, you know, Cody Bellinger's on, what, a seven-game hit streak?
Something like that, yeah.
He had a homer on Saturday. He's been hitting the ball hard. He's also had some of those, you know, flares fall into because he has that two-strike approach. He's showed up whenever the Cubs need it, with Seiya being out and, you know, Hap not playing basically after Friday, and, you know, Morel and Swanson really struggling with the play right now. So it's almost like the entire lineup was hot, like the big hitters were hot, except for him and Nico, and now them both are getting it going, but everyone else has kind of cooled off a little bit. You got to find a way to get all of them hitting at the same time, or at least some sort of consistency, right? I just love, like, Cody Bellinger is doing everything that we saw from last year at the plate. He does, like, the K rate's still low. He's walking a ton. Like, I think he's walking like 10% of his plate appearances.
Yeah,
like
11% now.
So he walked twice yesterday. Yeah, I mean, he's just giving you quality at bats, and like, he's supposed to be your best player, and he's playing like it right now. Obviously, you know, would have liked it to happen the first couple, the first week and a half or so, whatever. But I feel like towards the end of the road trip, that's when he started getting going when they were in Arizona. And, you know, so he had a good week, and just need to see some more consistency like that moving forward. But as far as the at-bats, they've been there. He's definitely earned, some trust back into the Cubs fan base, I think, this week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so he's since that last Arizona game you mentioned, the average has gone from 182 up to 222. It's not like – I mean, it is a pretty sizable jump. It's like 0.03 points into a batting average. The OPS has gone up. You mentioned the contact quality, and those have, if you look at his Baseball Savant, those levels are going up as far as percentiles. But, and then you mentioned this too, but I think the biggest thing for Cody is he's not striking out a lot. I think it's like 14.7% right now. 14.9%, and he is walking a lot at 11.7%. Those are very good numbers for a guy like, even when you're, those are good numbers because they show that even when he's not getting the results, maybe he's not hitting the ball as well, maybe the balls aren't falling for him, the contact quality isn't as great, the fact that he's not striking out a lot and he is walking a lot shows that the plate approach is still there. So even in those lows, those slumps, if all that stays equal, he's still getting on base because he's not striking out and he's walking a lot, then you feel good about, like, at least there's a baseline of, like, some kind of production, even when he is in a slump, that when he gets higher than that baseline, he still has that, but that means the ceiling goes up because he has that baseline of, this is what I could still do even when the bat's a little bit cold.
I just want – I know after splitting a series with the Marlins, there's a lot of negativity. It's easy because we ride the highs and the lows all season long. And just for some perspective – it's disappointing to split with the Marlins. I think they had four wins coming into the season.
Yeah, I think we said...
Now they have six. That's not great.
I think we said they needed to win three, the Cubs.
At least. And they probably should have won at least three.
They should have won game one on Saturday.
Consider the fact that I think they've still won 6 of 9. Consider the fact that they're still over 500. And if I had told you before the season started, beginning of spring training, hey, in April, Steele, Tyone, Seiya Suzuki, Ian Happ, and Merriweather will all miss significant time.
Yeah.
What do you think the record would have been?
Probably below 500.
Yeah, you probably think, especially with the schedule that they had.
Way below 500. I'd be like, oh, man, they're going to have to sell. It's going to be a train wreck again. It's going to be a train wreck because they're not going to be able to recover from that. Especially Steele, Tyone, Seiya, and Merriweather. The Happ thing, we don't know how bad really it is. Mm-hmm. But it's been nagging at him now, and it's two different hamstrings.
He did tell Jared yesterday that he's likely to play on Thursday.
They're hopeful that he'll be able to play.
I'm not really worried about Happ, but the other guys are all missing significant time. And this team right now, with those injuries, their record, they'd be first place in the National League West.
Yeah.
They got a better record than the Dodgers. Right. Yeah, and the Padres, and the Giants, and the Diamondbacks.
They're 13-9. They would be on a over 162 on a 95-96 win pace.
And they've blown four ninth inning leads.
If they had that, they'd be the best team in the National League.
Yeah, so like that's the conversation, right? It's like, even with all these things going wrong, obviously the injuries or guys having slumps or whatever it is, closer blowing saves, all that stuff, like they're still 13-9. They're still right in the mix of everything and where they need to be. So, I mean, yeah, it could be a lot worse, right? Like, that, I guess this, your spin zone is like they still have come out of it the first 22 games with a pretty solid record, pretty solid positioning in the National League, in the division, even with all that stuff going obviously the opposite way of what we hoped it would.
I think of all the stuff that I saw this weekend, I really liked Marquis had a sideline thing showing Morel, and I know a lot of people in the chat are talking about his struggles offensively. Shocker. Like, I mean, that's who he is. He's hot cold. He's big swings like Soriano. He's, you know, I think he'll take the production at the end of the season. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. But defensively, they did a thing about how his gruesome hand injury before he got to the majors, when he was in the minors, and that the trainer was on the other side with Marlins, was the guy who basically consoled him when he thought he'd never play baseball again. I just never knew the fact was that he has trouble still opening his left hand. And they did a great thing showing his hand. It's like this. He's like, hand's normally closed. So just to put the glove on, he's got to kind of force his hand open. So before you jump to, this guy's a bum at third base, whatever. I've seen the defense getting better. And keep in mind, this guy's pushing it. I've questioned why can't he be the next Madrigal at third base. He's got a little adversity to overcome. Cut him some slack early. And I know he's a major league player. He's young. He's a great hitter. And there's a chance that he's coming out of this really good.
My thing about Morel is that, like, he's 24, man.
Like, if he was, like, if he was had been in the league for, like, you know, as long as Swanson has. Like, I've clearly been on social media, especially the last couple days. Especially yesterday, I was being pretty hard on Swanson because he's had some blunders in the field. The bat hasn't been good the last 13 days, but he's also your highest paid player. Like all these things, Morel, you're not paying him shit, and he's almost like a diamond in the rough that you found. No, he was never a top tier prospect or anything like that. You know what I mean? Mm. And the fact that you have gotten what you've got out of him so far in his major league career is a massive win for the Cubs. Now, yeah, has he been struggling? Yeah. However, two hits the last two games. He had a double yesterday, and he had a single, a big hit in that comeback on Saturday night, right? So, yeah, he needs to hit more, especially with Seiya being out.
Do you worry about him offensively?
No, I'm not worrying about him offensively.
I'm not either because I know because what's coming next.
First off, the K rate is significantly down still compared to last year, and he still walks. So he's still giving you decent at-bats. Now, he has had some quick at-bats, too, where I think he hit, like, a little dribbler back to the pitcher yesterday, like, on, like, the, you know, 90. I don't even think he had thrown four pitches to him. So that's annoying. He's had a few of those, sure. But, like, the guy was quite literally raking the ball for the first 10 games of the year, and then he has that hand thing happen in San Diego, and he's been playing through it. Should I blame the Cubs for not just sitting him for a week? Perhaps. I'm not going to, but maybe I should. I don't know. But all I'm saying is that the one thing for sure that we've talked about him when it comes to his offense is that, yes, he can be streaky, but even during this tough stretch for him right now, I don't feel like it's as bad as it was last year because, again, he's still taking walks and he's not striking out at a 30% clip.
I will say the one thing with Morel, and I wonder, like, mentally, what's, like, I say this because the last few games, you've seen a couple instances where a really good pitch goes by, he lets it go by, and, like, he immediately reacts, like, that was the one, I should have swung at that one. So, like I wonder what he's seeing, or, like, what's with that, like, why, like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
he knows he's not locked in.
Yeah, like
he looks at that and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing up here.
Yeah,
right now.
So that's what I'm like, what needs to happen to get him re-locked in? Because it kind of flipped pretty quickly after, was it the second game in San Diego? I know the finger.
The game thing, after he hit that go-ahead homer.
I know that was a thing, but I know like Saturday morning, Craig Counsell did say that the finger's not an issue. So like, it's at some point you can't like blame the finger anymore, depending how big of an issue that was at the time. So I think just he's in a headspace where he's not completely locked in. That's what it looks like to me, especially when you see those reactions after some of the pitches that he lets go by. So like, how do you get past that and re-locked in so those pitches aren't the ones that are flying by anymore?
It's a good question. Hey guys, some beers can say they're brewed for baseball, but only Blue Moon is brewed by baseball. Beer and baseball just go together, and no beer goes better than the one that was literally born in a ballpark. Blue Moon was created at Coors Field in Denver, and it's the natural choice for all season long. Today's weather, right now, just screaming, give me a Blue Moon and an orange slice. Oh, warm weather's on the way. Naked guy's been out on the patio sunning himself. Nothing beats watching baseball or lounging by the pool or hanging out on your patio with an ice cold Blue Moon. Blue Moon was brewed by baseball to give you a dose of nostalgia and get you excited for a new season. A beer this good only comes around every once in a while, or as they say, once in a blue moon. You can enjoy it all season long. Bring the ballpark to you with Blue Moon Belgian style wheat ale. It's one of a kind every time. Get Blue Moon delivered by visiting get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO to see your delivery options. That's get.bluemoonbeer.com/CHGO. Blue Moon made brighter. Celebrate responsibly. Blue Moon Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
So we talked about, was it the second edition of the Friday 120 Club on Friday? 2-0 now on Friday. Whoa. Friday 120 Club days. The Friday 120 Club is 2-0.
Undefeated.
It was a great game. Cody mentioned the weather. I obviously was in the press box, a little colder up there at the shade, but in the bleacher or wherever you're sitting, the sun's out. It was better weather, and the weather's only going to get better. But for that Friday game, like, if you really wanted to have a good time, which you would have in that game against the Marlins, anyone that bought their tickets, they must have bought them through Game Time, because there's no one else you should have gone through to get them. You shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I think my favorite thing when I go to Game Time, this is like, I've looked at like tickets at Wrigley, I've looked at tickets at Soldier Field and the United Center and at the Allstate Arena, like all the different kind of arenas around here. You know, you don't always know what kind of view you're going to get. You don't always know what it's going to look like in the seat you get. With Game Time, you do. They have those views from the seat in the venue on the app, so you know ahead of time what you're looking at. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All-in prices show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. Buy tickets in seconds with two taps. They're obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats, find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you pick the section, and Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18% savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CHGO for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CHGO for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Ryan, I've seen you do that multiple times, actually.
What? Just
pull out your phone, Game Time app.
Oh, right, yeah. Walks around doing it all purchase. Day.
I've seen it. Bears tickets. I think you and Papa Herrera.
Concerts.
The first ever Bears ticket.
The tailgate.
The first ever Bears game I've gone to was at a couple years ago against the Texans.
Yeah, the tailgate.
After our Bears, CHGO Bears tailgate.
CHGO tailgate. And he pulls out the phone, Game Time. Yeah. Boom. Yeah. Right there.
Two tasks, we had them, and we walked over to the game.
Sean in the chat used to call you Little Rossi. I always say it's Little Game Time. Little Game Time. He's always got that Game Time app out.
Absolutely.
Buying tickets.
Before we move on to previewing the Astros series, there was a good tweet from – there's an account on Twitter called Codify.
Yeah.
Codify Baseball. They tweeted, like, wins the last 10 games. And, like, it's, like, the numbers and then the list of teams on with each number.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in the last 10 games, like, the Phillies and the Mets have 8 wins. For 7, it's Guardians, Braves, Brewers, Orioles, Mariners. And then for Cubs, it was 6.
Okay.
So they've won 6 of 10, 6 of 9, whatever. Nice. The Cubs have won as many games as the, you know, in this last 10 games, at least, they have been up there as one of the top teams in the league. Should they have had more? Yes, and I understand the frustration, and I'm honestly right there with you. I had to go take a long-ass walk after yesterday's loss to get past it, and that's why I didn't join Corey or Brennan, or else I just would have yelled and screamed on the podcast for an hour. All right? Credit to me.
That's big of you.
But, like, I just think that this team is showing that they're a good team, or at least a competent team, and they have to continue to take steps forward and get to that point to where they really are a playoff team like we all predicted. I know no one wants to hear that. I know people just want to be pissed. Believe me saying this right now, I'm a little sick to my stomach saying it. But at the same time, like, you do have to have a little perspective, and you have to, you know, bring back that magnifying glass a little bit and just recognize that, hey, the Cubs have been one of the best teams in baseball over the last 10 games. So – well, how will they do over the next 10-game stretch? We'll see. It's a tough schedule, but it's been a tough schedule. They've played with injuries. how, like, I expect a lot of the same over the next 10 games, even against these teams. So we'll see. I guess I'm trying to instill a little bit of positive feeling into some people. But again, I ain't going to tell y'all how to fan. At the same time, you're not going to tell me how to fan either. So let me be me.
Look at that. The Captain Positivity over there. Captain Positive.
Would have thought.
Trying to keep the spirits up. And he's not wrong. Again, like I said, think of all the injuries and they'd still be first in the West. Now, you mentioned what's coming up next, the next 10 games. Well, the next six, you get the Astros at Wrigley, and then you go to the Red Sox. You want to see a team that's struggling because of injuries? Look at the Astros, 7-16.
Yeah.
7-16. Now,
is
that's
Valdez
a team.
Valdez hurt? Framber out.
Their whole pitching staff's hurt. Yeah. Basically, their whole rotation's been hurt. And so while their pitching injuries have likely been worse, yeah. Verlander's finally back, their pitching injuries have been worse than even the Cubs, which is almost impossible considering your one and your two were out for the Cubs and you're one of three most trusted relievers for sure.
Yeah.
But look at what it's done to the Astros. The Cubs have found a way to keep their head above water even a little bit more. They even might have two arms up on the raft right now. And they could be the Astros. Head under the water every couple say. Head under the water. What am I? You're like 7-16. The Red Sox are 13-10.
Yeah.
But the Astros are a team most people think are World Series contenders.
I think I predicted them to make the World Series this year.
Right. Well, Corey mentioned on yesterday's podcast and in our Slack channel, he's like, he's been saying all along, if the Cubs are a serious World Series contending team, Alzolay's not their closer. Which, again, could be fixed by the trade deadline. And my response is this. I don't think they are a serious World Series contender.
I agree with you. This year, I don't think so either.
Right. So I think I knew that going in. Now, I'm hopeful that it'll get to that point. And by the trade deadline, you would look at it and go, well, maybe. And they make a couple of big moves. We add to this team. They're hot. They get in. You never know. They're the Diamondbacks. Whatever. The Astros are a team that thinks they can win the World Series, and they're off to a 7-16 start.
Jose Abreu's been awful.
Yeah. Kick, I don't think Josh Hader's been down. Great. Yeah. Right?
Kick them while they're down. You just had a day off.
Hopefully this is a get-them-at-the-right-time scenario.
Yeah, Josh Hader has a 8.38 ERA right now.
He's blown a handful of saves, too.
Imagine if you paid all that money and you had that same problem right now. People be
oh,
mad.
Yeah, that's so like it is like a
oh, would people be mad?
Yeah,
it is. Are they down? Yes, but they also have like Yordan Alvarez is one of the scariest hitters in Major League Baseball. Like, they have the kind of lineup that you look at as like, yeah, they can on any given day, even with all the injuries or whatever, that lineup can carry that team to a win. So, like, yes, kick them while they're down, but also like. Don't look at the record. Don't look at, like,
oh,
it's a team
no.
that
they've earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Like,
you didn't take advantage of the Marlins the way you should have. Yeah. Now you're catching the Astros at a weak point.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, don't take them. Like, do not take it easy on them, obviously. Yeah.
Play
not
clean
be a
baseball.
It's not going to be a cakewalk. Play the clean baseball.
Is Verlander going to come back for the series?
I think he's. Well, he already pitched.
Yeah,
I think
he's pitched.
Oh, he
did.
I think he's pitching at the end of the series, potentially. But yeah, no, it's if this team is down, keep them down. Like, make sure they stay down. Do all the things that the right things that you need to do to win ball games. Because you might not get chances against these kind of teams.
And then
future.
Go to Boston and let somebody on this podcast say how you like them apples. Right? That's all I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a stretch that seems like maybe that's not 10 games, it's 6 games. But the next 6 games, I still think that they could.
The Red Sox
4-2-6. You feel good.
The Red Sox they kind of remind me of like the 2019 Cubs, where they have some star power in there, like Rafael Devers for sure. Like, he's one of the best third basemen in the league, but like they didn't do anything to make their team better than last year. I mean, they signed Lucas Giolito, and then he gets hurt before even spring training really gets going. I think pitching for them is a big problem. And even Kenley Jansen has blown some saves too for them. So it's not that I'm not taking them seriously in terms of going in and winning, but as far as like a long-term thing for them, like, I don't believe in them at all. I really don't. So for me, going to Boston.
That is after for his baseman too. So.
Yeah, yeah, Tristan Casas, yeah. And Trevor Story's out for the entire year. Like, they have some issues over there too. So yeah, you look at the teams and you're like, oh, yeah, those guys, those teams have been, you know, good in recent years, right? But it's not like you have to go face the Dodgers and then play the Padres on the road the next series. You know what I mean? Like, this is a tough stretch for sure, but I don't think it's like playing the Dodgers at home and then going on that long West Coast road trip. So, yeah, you gotta play well in your home ballpark and try and bounce back from the series against the Marlins, and then gotta go back on the road and play play some competent teams. I'll say that about the Red Sox, is like they're competent. Like, they'd probably be a 500 team at least in the National League. I just think they're in such a tough division and a tough league in general with the American League that I don't believe in whatever they're doing. Like, they're just trying to tread water, I feel like, at this point already, and I don't know when things will ever get above that. With the Cubs, you can believe that they can, I feel like the Cubs, we're all kind of saying just tread water while we can. But when you add Steele back and you add in some of these prospects that are going to come up and, Seiya comes back, like, you feel like the team has another an extra gear to it. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I just don't feel like that with the Red Sox. And with as far as the Astros coming up on this series, like, yeah, I mean, you look at the lineup, you look at, the history over the last 7 years or so. Sure, it'll be, can't take them lightly, but it's better to get them now than if they had won like 8 of 10 and they're coming into Wrigley,
Yeah.
Today is Earth Day, my calendar tells me. So before we go, give me one thing. Joey, get in on this. Joey's running the ones and twos. I don't know if he's over there. You with us, Joey? Oh, he's here.
He's listening.
Today is Earth Day. Give me one thing you'd like to recycle from last season and run back this season. Put it back in, crumble it up, recycle it, get it back. It's going to happen again this season. What's the one thing or one person or one performance you'd like to recycle from last year?
I think Cody Bellinger's performance from last year.
That would be...
He's not quite at that level right now. Maybe he can get back there or close to it, like, as the season goes on. But, like, he... Outside of, like, the if he didn't get hurt, like, I know that he was a little bit of a downswing in May, but, like, if he didn't get hurt and lose a month early on, he could have been an all-star. Like, he was the most the comeback player of the year. Like, he was exactly what the Cubs needed in the middle of that order. And having that right now with, say, Hap may play tomorrow, but who knows, right? You don't know for sure. But just with everything going on, Morel slumping, Dansby Swanson not hitting very well, like, having that in the middle of the order right now, like it did last year, where he carried the offense at times with the way he was hitting, that could be very beneficial to the offense right now, who is not doing bad overall, but, like, adding that consistently good bat into the middle of the order right now would be huge. And, again, like I said, like, Bellinger's had a good week. He's on a 7-game hitting streak. Like, maybe that's a sign that he is getting back there. But that's still an if, right? Like, if I'm the Cubs and I want to recycle something and bring it back right now, it's what Cody Bellinger was at his best last year.
It's kind of tough for me to answer this. I mean, I guess the easy one here is Alzolay.
Back to the closer he was last year.
We've talked enough about that. Like,
I
don't know.
I agree. Bellinger would be an easy one. For me, it's Justin Steele. Come back to the team, and every fifth day you get Justin Steele pitching like a guy who's in the Cy Young competition.
Yeah,
sure.
That will change everything you think about Cubs pitching. It may not change the closer's role, but it changes the bullpen. It changes the rotation. Changes all of that. Yeah. Now, another one could be Tyone. Give me Tyone the second half of the season. Be helpful, but it wouldn't be as helpful if you can get Justin Steele's entire season from when he comes back.
Yeah. Sure. No, Seiya second half or post August, 9th was the day? Like that last.
Which they were,
2 months
but
about.
Can but you Seiya, recycle it, his injury?
instead of having him injured right now, you have that in there. Yeah.
I'm not as worried about the offense. I'm more worried about the pitching if Steele doesn't come back to the guy that we hope he will be when he comes back. And if he does, like I said, it impacts so many things because you take somebody out of the rotation and put him in the bullpen. If Alzolay becomes your Merriweather for this, you fix him and he becomes your Merriweather and somebody else becomes the closer, that could be fixed too. But Alzolay's one too, for sure. No question about it.
Yeah. I mean, you could have said the same thing about Nico, too, with his tough start, but he's been great since the Arizona series.
Gary says, give me Merriweather from
Merriweather,
last year.
Yeah, Merriweather, yeah. The Steele one's probably the biggest one just because, like, the Steele injury has led to the tax bullpen, which led to the overusage of certain guys, which led to – which did – it did act as a domino effect in why they use guys in certain games instead of other guys, which led to losses, you know? So.
No, I think when you said that, I'm like, yeah. And it's not just having him here right now. It's having him when he does come back, pitching at that level again.
Every fifth day.
Going forward.
Changes a lot. And when you're not feeling good, he comes up in the rotation.
And if you get that from Steele again, another Cy Young caliber year, it's like – really solidifies your long-term outlook on what he can be for you.
Yeah,
agreed.
If he's putting two back-to-back years like that together, then it's not he's not a flash in the pan. He's a
at
guy.
At an affordable rate.
Yeah, he's a guy.
I thought for sure somebody in the chat was going to say recycle Ian Happ batting third. Swore that was going to.
Yeah.
No?
I loved your tweet over the – I think it was Friday – where you said bat him third.
Yeah.
Bat that man third. Yeah. Sleepy were like, ah. Yeah.
Come on.
I won't lie. I saw it and I laughed. You know.
Well, you know.
It's like he's got zingers on Twitter. I'll
say everyone. Every once in a while, the squirrel finds the acorn.
Every now and then he'll tweet an old mug from the White Hen. Or every now and then he'll send tweets like that.
That always gets good feedback. Always good feedback. Good traction. Only 35 likes?
Come on, man.
Yeah, we need more than that.
And it's...
It's tough. Can I say one? I know we talked about the Marlins series, the first half show, but can I just go on a little tangent before we end the show?
Sure, you got. Right. You have exactly 2 minutes.
Okay.
Naked Man was also just outside, by the way.
Naked Man was out. So I understand that it's inexcusable to lose those two games, and also it's inexcusable for Alzolay to blow four saves. However, the lineup that Craig Counsell put out there Saturday for the day game is laugh out loud funny. The fact that you didn't have Bellinger or Bush in there, and I understand that it was because of the doubleheader. And so in some aspects, I blame Mother Nature for this. But at the same time, the lineup that they put out there for that game, to me, is David Ross-esque. And I've been someone who has sat here and praised Craig Counsell for lineups and everything. But one of those two needed to be on the lineup, and to me it should have been Bellinger because he's hit lefties since he's been a Cub, all right? And Lizardo was on the mound. I get it, and also I understand the weather played a factor in that game in general because Wisdom should have had two home runs. Garrett Cooper should have had a home run, and I think there's someone else in there that should have had a home run too that the wind kept in. All fly balls to the warning track. Okay, so I'm just frustrated with the fact that that Craig Counsell basically went into that game banking on scoring like maybe three runs and somehow getting away with it. And I just feel like they didn't put the best lineup out there that they could have done, even on a doubleheader day. I just feel like Bellinger is a guy that you got to have in there every day, especially with the injuries that they have right now. I understand you're going to give me you're going to give me some sort of thing to defend him. Again,
well,
I understand it's the doubleheader. I understand it's the doubleheader, but also Craig Counsell, in my opinion, with that lineup, didn't give them the best chance to win in that particular game. You put Bush and Bellinger in the lineup in game two, what happens? They score five runs. So, to me, while Saya is out, and if Ian Happ misses any more time, those two have to be in the lineup every game. Period. Well,
Tom Thibodeau would play him.
It's like you said, the doubleheader obviously had a lot to do with it. There was a lefty on the mound. Part of it. Also the fact that I don't think Bellinger had taken a game off at all before that. I think that was his first game off or out of the lineup.
They had just had an off day because of the rain delay. And they have an off day today.
They have the off day because of a rain delay. It just means they didn't play the game. They still went and they still trained. They did everything that they did that they would do going into a game Thursday. They just didn't play the game. So it's not a real off day.
Okay.
As it is. I'm just saying, like,
More bad takes, Cody.
That is right. The context of everything. It was legitimately his first, I think, if I'm counting correctly, because I don't know if there was another four-game series. That was his first game off of the season. So, I mean, yeah, you could have had him in there. Maybe you have Bush in there because I think Bush
also... He didn't play on Friday.
Yeah, he didn't play on Friday. So that way, you probably could have had Bush in there, but you're also, like, the platoon thing and whatever. I'm just giving you reasons of why... why that was. Not saying that you don't have a right
to be. I actually agree with both you. I understand your reasons, and I wish one of them were in there.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that's a bad take at all. I'm just saying like this is the
that's all I needed.
The reasons for why the lineup was the way it was that first
game. I just like a lot of people were obviously and rightfully upset about Alzolay, but when you score two runs against one of the worst teams in the game,
that's
why they lost.
It was also against Luzardo though too, wasn't it? Didn't he start that game like a pretty good pitcher?
He's, and again, Cooper probably should have had a homer, and Wisdom should have had two homers in that game. So perhaps, you know, the wind played a factor, all these things, sure. Like, I'm not going to remember that game in 2 weeks. I guarantee you I'll remember that they split the series and they should have won three of the four games. But just in my opinion, you got to score more runs. Yeah, and when you look at that lineup in game one of that series compared to game two of that series, I just feel like it's got to be better than that, man. And I would think differently if Seiya was healthy and if Hap was going to play in that game. But after he came out on Friday, we pretty much knew that Hap wasn't going to play in that game. So I just, with the off day coming up on Monday, that I just feel like you had your best chance to at least get three out of the four games of that series for that doubleheader because of knowing that Hendricks was going to pitch on Sunday, you know?
Two key chats before we go to wrap this up. One is the Godfather saying he once worked 75 straight days and it wasn't playing baseball. That's why he's the Godfather. And then Sean saying in Luke's day, he walked uphill 20 miles both ways to play a triple header in Little League. That is also true, and there was no shade at that park ever. No trees.
Don't let the facts get in the way.
Trees hadn't been invented yet.
I understand.
They still called it rounders at that point. Yeah.
I understand giving guys days rest because they need it because we saw last year the long season grind or whatever take a toll, especially on guys like Swanson and Horner, right? So I get it. I just, considering where the Cubs are, like the offense is right now with the injuries to Seiya and, you know, again, I think Hap will be in the lineup tomorrow, but knowing that he wasn't going to be in the lineup at all on Saturday, you got to have your best hitters in there, man. And that lineup, I like Cooper in there against lefties, but I can't watch him face another righty, and I know I'm going to have to, right? Wisdom, you didn't know what you're going to get. Yeah, again, he was the reason they scored the two runs, which is fine. And everyone on social media screamed about him being in the two hole, and it worked out again for two straight games, right? Even though they lost the second one, but he's the reason they scored those two runs. But I think whenever you have these kinds of injuries to the offense right now, second best hitter at the very least is out. I just feel like there's certain guys that just have to be in there. Can't take games off. So Alzolay can't blow the save, but you can't score two runs against one of the worst teams in the league.
And start playing cleaner defense.
That's
absolutely.
That too, man.
For a team built on defense, it's been, I don't think it's been like atrocious, but there have been, especially for guys like Dansby or Nico, like times where you're like, they usually make those plays.
I feel like Bellinger's one of the few guys where I can't think of a time where I was like, come on, man, make that play.
Yesterday losing the ball in the sun, like, what am I supposed to say? Like,
it's the sun.
It's the sun.
It happens.
However, like my big thing is that you've played here for what 80 some games last year, and then what were 20 games in the year, so what almost 10 games this year, so 90 games give or take.
The sun's the sun, dude.
Let me be irrational.
And not every game is sunny.
Yeah, I know. It bothers me.
His eyes
could be bothered by the eclipse recently and all that stuff.
Yeah. My
sure. There you go.
My rounders joke.
Have the glasses.
My rounders joke got some love in there. So it landed better than my Joe Mama joke last week.
It is, again, generally, Bellinger, until yesterday, and again, I understand that you can't necessarily criticize him for it because the sun is the sun, but he's been the only one out there in center that's been really good. You made those throws to third base to get the tagging runners in Arizona.
I feel like he's just made all the plays he's supposed to make and just been given good defense. So, but yeah, Dansby's got to be better at short, man. That the fact that that wasn't a throwing error yesterday was, I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
Yeah.
And then that's an earned run to Hendricks.
Yeah.
We're going to let it go now.
Yeah. Shut up about the sun. Shut up about the sun.
I don't know that reference.
The Office. Yeah. Cody, you got that one?
I watched The Office, but I don't know that one.
It's a little later. I think it's Gabe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up about the sun.
Shut up about the
sun. And that's when I stopped watching. Probably.
Yeah, that's when it gets poor.
If it's after Steve Carell leaves.
Yep. No good.
The one I will say, though, is 0 days since our last nonsense. And yesterday's game was filed under that folder.
There's a lot of nonsense.
You wanted me to file games under certain folders. Yesterday's game was put under the 0 days since our last nonsense game.
But today's a new day. Today is Earth Day. Happy Earth Day. We'll be looking forward to celebrating Arbor Day coming up in June. Very exciting. Schedule it on your calendars. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast. Back with a pregame show at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll also have the postgame show. You're going to the ballpark, right?
We at the ballpark.
Till then, Cubs and Astros tomorrow night, pregame show 6 o'clock. Thanks for watching, and as always, hit the like button on the way out. Fly the W.